God. Praise God. All right. We are on the alphabet of God, and we are on the letter U.
U.
U. So give me some ideas. What do you think is coming today?
Unity.
Nice. Okay, good one. U. Anybody else? Unity. As a name and title for God, starts with U.
Unimaginable.
Oh, I wish I would have put that in my sermon. That was good.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Thank you. That's another good one. You can just go on. This is the beauty of doing the names and titles of Jesus Christ, because it's infinite, you know, what God has for us in his names. But we're going to go a little different route. We're going to be covering a couple different U's today. But you can find it in the majestic depths of the ocean. I don't know if you've ever been able to see the coral reef that's below the ocean and the beautiful things that happen below there. But it's found there. You can go as high and see it in the galaxies, the billions of galaxies that are with us, in the stars, the moon, planets. You can find it, actually, in the ugliest bugs. And you can find it also in the splendor of creation of beautiful butterflies. You can find it in the tiniest little monkey. Yeah. It's the tiniest little monkey. And you can find it in the largest massive blue whale that's ever found in the ocean floor. You can find it in the creativity and innovation of the mind of man and what they come up with. And you can also find it in the absolute incredible human body. It's everywhere, anywhere you look. Matter of fact, the human body, someone said, just one living cell in the human body is more complex than New York City, and I believe that. But it's everywhere. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, any place that you can go to, you'll find this. And what's this? This is evidence. Evidence of a divine fingerprint.
Amen. Amen.
Evidence that God exists.
Amen.
Everywhere you look, anything that is good, anything that is beautiful, gives us evidence that God is here with us all over the place. Sir Isaac Newton, you've heard of him?
Yeah.
He founded classical theoretical physics, and known for his genius in the world of optics, mechanics, and mathematics, he said this, quote, what we know is a drop. What we do not know is a vast ocean. The admirable arrangement and harmony of the universe could only have come from the plan of an omniscient and an omnipotent being. He went on to say also, I love this, in the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. That's true, because we're all unique, amen? Mm-hmm. Each one of us is unique in our own special way. Yeah. You've heard of Anthony Flew, who's a British philosopher. During the course of his career, he taught at universities like Oxford, Aberdeen, Kiel, Reading, York University, Toronto. He was what many consider the leading atheist. He was the atheist of all atheists, the proponent of atheism, wrote books on it, scores of articles on atheism. But in 2004, all of that changed with the release of his book called There Is a God. How the world's most notorious atheist changed his mind. And he credited Aristotle for showing him the unmoved mover. This man, who was an atheist all of his life, finally came to the understanding as he's looking in creation, as he's looking around all of the universe, saying, yes, God exists.
Wow. Yes. Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Anyone ever hear about Albert Einstein?
Yes.
Right? Among his discoveries, he developed the special general theories of relativity, the law of mass energy, equivalence, and received the Nobel Prize for describing the law of photoelectric effect. Yet Albert Einstein, in his genius, would not neglect and did not hold back from his belief in God. He said himself, the more I study science, the more I believe in God.
Praise God.
In another quote, he said, I want to know how God created this world. I want to know his thoughts. Genius. Carl Ludwig Schleich, I believe his name is, 1859, 1922, famous German surgeon and writer. He is best known for being the one who really originated anesthesia. And he came and wrote years ago, quote, I became a believer in my own way through the microscope and observation of nature, and I want to contribute as far as I can to the full harmony between science and religion. One more. Charles Townes, 1964 Nobel Prize in Physics and founder of the laser science. He said, quote, I strongly believe in the existence of God based on intuition, observations, logic, and also scientific knowledge. These are great minds. And not only these, but a myriad of more philosophers, of physicists, of doctors, of lawyers, of intellectuals, have all come to that one conclusion that there is a God, and that this God is, his existence is undeniable. There's our word.
Yes.
Undeniable. You cannot go anywhere without seeing the fingerprint of God somewhere in creation, in creativity, in the creativity of hearts and minds, in yourself. God's image and likeness is inside of you. And the unfortunate thing is, we see God in many places, but we also see the devil. We know that there is the existence of evil as well. Why? Because there's so much hatred in the world. There's so much evil that is happening in the world. And we know that there is a conflict, an invisible conflict that is happening between good and evil. We believe in the existence of God. Some people say, well, how can God exist and allow so much evil to go on? Why so much suffering in this world? Many people who ask that question forget that there is a devil who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. They want to blame everything on God, but yet they forget that there is an entity out there, a very true being, just as much as God is real, there is a devil who is out there, who is real, who is stealing, who is killing, who is destroying lives. Why is my son a drug addict? Why is my daughter run away from home? Why are all these things happening in our household? Let me tell you something, it's not God. Stop blaming God.
Yeah. Right.
Blame the one who is to be blamed, and that's the devil. Some people want to go and play around with the devil. They want to go and play with Ouija boards and do all this kind of stuff, and they don't realize that they are messing with a real entity.
That's right.
And you play with the devil long enough, and he's going to play back. And when he plays back, he plays for keeps. And if you're not God's, he'll come and he'll take control.
That's right. Amen.
He'll mess with your head, he'll mess with your mind, he'll mess with your family. He'll do everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy you.
Yes, he will.
You know, the Apostle Peter warned the devil, like a roaring lion, is going about seeking all and any he can devour. You want to stay as far away from the devil as you can.
Oh, yeah.
When I was growing up, one of the things, among many things, one of the things that suddenly a light bulb went off in my mind was the fact that I really loved Jimi Hendrix. And I loved rock and roll, and I loved country. I loved every kind of music genre there is. I loved everything. And then a simple thought came, and as I was listening to Jimi Hendrix, he said it. He said, music is spiritual. And I was like, uh-oh. And then I was listening to Led Zeppelin. Some of you know it like your kids. What's a Led Zeppelin? That's something that flies in the air that falls down. It was a band. But they used to have all this emblems on their guitars. And then all of a sudden I started to do a little research, and I found out that Jimmy Page and Aleister Crowley were friends. Aleister Crowley was the founder of the Church of Satan in California. Jimmy Page actually bought Aleister Crowley's mansion. Listen, it's either one or the other. You either serve God or you serve the devil.
That's right.
And I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I'm listening to this music and I'm either glorifying God or I'm glorifying the devil. That's when he gets down. It's really simple with God.
That's right. It is simple.
Right? And it's either you're glorifying God or you're glorifying the devil. It's one of the two. And so I thought I would outwit, you know, the devil, and I would outwit God. And I started listening to just instrumental music. I figured, oh, I'm going to be in God. I don't have to listen to the words. But what about the individuals playing that instrumental music? Who do they believe in? What are they all about? Are they trying to glorify God? And suddenly, I heard this guy named Phil Cady, and he was playing a song. What a day. What a day it was being. And I was listening to the radio, and I was listening to this song, and I said, what's this guy so happy about? Then I came to realize many years later that it was because he had a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he was glorifying God. And man, you could hear it through the music. And I don't know about you, but I love worship now. I love to be able to worship.
Hallelujah.
It's undeniable. Amen?
Amen.
Dr. Terry Mortensen, geology historian, he wrote in an article, Intelligent Designer, Designer. He said, quote, many people suppress the obvious truth that creation testifies of its creator. Yet from single-cell creatures to the largest animals, from the atomic to astronomic levels of creation, we see amazing design that points to an incredibly intelligent designer. Amen?
Amen.
God's out there.
Amen.
He's created everything. And he's created it with order. We weren't the result of a Big Bang theory. I'm sorry, do your research on that. It would take at least 4 Big Bang theories to actually produce the Big Bang theory. So that's just nonsense in itself. Making something creative out of chaos is absolute absurdity. Even scientists understand that to a large degree. And they can't understand and they can't really explain away the order that's in the universe today. Someone put it this way, the sun has a surface temperature of 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. If we're any closer to the earth, we burn. And if we're any farther, we freeze. Our globe is tilted on an exact angle of 23 degrees, 23.5, which enables us to have 4 seasons. If it weren't tilted, vapors from the ocean would move north and south, eventually piling up monstrous continents of ice. If the moon did not remain at a specific distance from the earth, the ocean tide would completely inundate the land twice a day. If the ocean floor merely slipped a few feet deeper, the carbon dioxide and oxygen balance in the Earth's atmosphere would be completely upset and no vegetable or animal life could exist on Earth. If our atmosphere suddenly thinned out, many of the meteors that now harmlessly burn up when they hit our atmosphere would constantly bombard us. It's not an accident. We are not here by accident. God has ordained every one of us. God has created every single one of us. And he's created us with a purpose. We've come into this earth with a purpose in life. And that purpose ultimately is to glorify him in some way, in some fashion.
Amen.
We were created to glorify our God. We were created to give honor and praise and glory to the God who created us. This life is not just for us, folks. It's a life that is to be used for him. Every breath that you have is a breath that he gives you as a gift.
Yes.
You woke up this morning because God enabled you to wake up. You have breath in your lungs because God is enabling you to breathe. In him we move and breathe and have our existence.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe for the first time he's heard that from your lips. A long time to thank you. Long ago, before the scientists, philosophers, physicists, before all these intellectuals got together and said, yeah, there is a God who exists. Long before all that happened, the Bible clearly stated it. It already happened thousands of years ago. Somebody say the Bible.
Bible.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky displays his handiwork. Day after day, it speaks out. Night after night, it reveals his greatness. There is no actual speech or word, nor is its voice literally heard, yet its voice echoes throughout the earth. The presence of creation echoes out throughout the earth. Its words carry to the distant horizon. And what is the earth? What are the stars? What are the billions of galaxies saying? We did not come here on our own. We are the result of a man, or creator rather, who created us.
God himself. Amen.
You see, those who believe in God must believe that he exists. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Somebody's saying, how am I going to please you, Lord? Faith, belief, trust in God. Lord, I want to please you. How, Lord? Faith, believe God. Amen? Belief is a choice. Belief is a command, but belief is a choice. Believe on me. You have the choice to believe on Jesus or not to believe on Jesus. It's a choice. To believe on Christ is to have a choice. And every day you are faced with a choice. Lord, do I believe you today? Do I believe you throughout this things that I'm going through, the hazards that I'm facing right now? Do I believe you, or am I going to trust in myself? Am I going to lean on my own understanding? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your mind. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path.
Amen. God,
yes.
Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
I said, trust in the Lord. It's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I didn't say it. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in her heart, there is no God. I didn't say it.
The Bible says it.
So don't take your anger out of me. Although you can, it's not really going to do you any good. Because God's word's going to stand anyway.
Amen.
You must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Wow.
Beautiful. The Apostle Paul sums it up like this in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen. Wait, Pastor John, you're telling me that this God who's invisible can be seen? Yes. That's what Paul is trying to say. Look up into the heavens. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. Look at the flowers of the field. And you're worried about clothes. And God's saying, no. Look at how I clothed everything. I'm the one who did this all. And you're worrying about what you're going to eat or what you're going to put on. God says, don't worry about that stuff. I'm the creator of all things.
Amen.
And you can clearly see me in all of this stuff.
Right.
You want to see God? Look at a newborn baby.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
His eternal power, divine nature, and clearly being understood through the things that he has made, his creation, the wonderful things that he has orchestrated, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense. Those who say, God, I don't believe you exist, they have that right to choose that. But there's going to come a day when they're going to die. And when they die, they're going to stand in front of the one who created everything.
Amen.
And they're going to be without excuse, the Apostle Paul says. They're going to be without defense. There's going to be nothing that's going to be able to, they're going to hold on to say, Lord, see, God, you're not really there. No, when they die. I was talking to my wife about this today. We're talking about it. It's going to come up in the letter V in a couple weeks with the Vindicator. But we wonder sometimes what happens with individuals, especially Christians. They're harassed, they're lied against, they're really, a lot of bad things happen to us folks when we become born again.
Right.
And many of us think, well, when we become born again, everything's going to be sunshine, tiptoe through the tulips, you know, and everything's going to be great, and oh, praise God. No. Let me set you on the right course. It's that when you become a Christian, it's probably going to become more difficult. Life is going to become more difficult. Suddenly the people that love you are going to turn against you.
That's
suddenly
right. Yes.
Your workplace is going to become a war place.
Right.
Suddenly, when I was working as a young Christian, I used to bring my Bible in, and the owner said, you don't bring that thing in here anymore. So I put a brown paper bag over the cover, and I brought it in there anyway. And guess what happened? John DeGiorgio got fired. Well, why? Because I wanted to love the Lord and I wanted to take my break. It was my break. Lunchtime was my break. And I go in the bathroom, nobody was looking, and I just opened it up and just start reading it in the dark room. And yet, because I was bringing my Bible and wanted to learn about God, they didn't like that. And I was a pretty good salesman, too. They shouldn't have got rid of me, they were garbage. But you know, that's what happens when you become a Christian. People start coming against you. But the amazing thing is, I was thinking when we were talking about this, getting back to the conversation, Carol and I were discussing, why does all this bad stuff happen to Christians? Why does it seem like nothing ever happens to those people? And I thought, honey, let's think about something. Jesus came to his own. God manifests in the flesh, and his own did not receive him.
That's right.
He was despised. He was rejected.
That's right.
He was beaten. This is God in human form. God was beaten by the very own people he created. And you think, well, this is on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do?
No.
What?
Yep.
I'm Italian. I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm a human being, fallen, a sinner, and God is God.
Amen.
God forgives and loves in a way that we don't even understand. And imagine what happened to Pilate, and imagine what happened to those soldiers, and imagine what happened to those people that tore Jesus' beard out, and they beat him, and they mocked him, and they spit in his face. Imagine the moment that they die, their eyes close in this life, or they open their eyes in the next life, and who are they standing in front of?
God Almighty.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He's the vindicator.
Amen.
So, folks, don't worry about it. God's got you. He's going to help you. It's undeniable, God's existence. The question I want to ask you is, do you have that undeniable understanding within yourself? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, you've never seen him, and though you've never seen him, you love him. How do you love someone that you don't see? Peter's talking to individuals. Though you've never seen him, you love him. And though not having seen him, you believe in him. How do you believe in something that you can't see? And not only that, you can't see him, you can't, but he says, there is within you an inexpressible joy, a love that is bubbling forth. There is evidence of the undeniable evidence of God inside of you, child of God. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the God who is undeniably in the universe, in his existence, suddenly you can't even understand him anymore, because now he's just bubbling out. The joy, inexpressible joy, is bubbling out from your life.
Amen.
Love is coming out of your life. When I was first born again, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, some of you heard this, forgive me for saying it again, but there was something going down, and I thought there was going to be a hit that was going to happen, and I locked eyes with this individual, and I said, it's going down. And I was going to the back of my truck to get some stuff, to make it, you know, all of a sudden, we locked eyes. And when we locked eyes, this love, unexplainable love, started pouring out of me to that person. It was so strong, it literally knocked me back, where I said, oh my gosh, Lord, what is happening? Is this what it means to be born again? Now I understand you're inside of me, because I can't do this stuff, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that was more than 30 years ago, almost 40 years ago, and the love has never stopped coming forth. There's evidence that comes from within.
Right.
Do you have that evidence inside of you? Do you have the witness of Christ inside of you? We have the undeniable existence of God on the outside, but do you have the undeniable presence of Christ inside of you?
Yes.
Can others see Jesus in your life?
Yes.
When you're going through hardship and tragedy, do they hear you cursing, murmuring, or do they hear, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Rejoice when you're persecuted.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord. Just as I say, rejoice. Paul's writing that from a prison cell. And it's writing from a dungeon and he's saying rejoice.
Yeah.
How can he say that? Because there's an internal witness inside of him.
Hallelujah.
There's somebody else that's come to take his place inside of our hearts, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
When Christ comes inside, life changes. Amen?
Yes.
You see things differently. You act differently. You understand things differently. You have a different perspective on life because of the one who dwells inside of you. Before we were born again, do you know what the Bible says? You were darkness.
Right.
You and I lived in darkness. We dwelt in darkness. Inside we were dead because of our trespasses and sins. That's the Bible. That's not me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You were dead because of your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 5, you were darkness.
Yeah.
But now, at that moment that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, but now are you light in the Lord. Now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, hallelujah, all things have passed away and all things have become new.
Amen.
Now you have a place seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now everything has changed.
Hallelujah.
Jesus makes that
yes.
change.
Amen.
Oh, what's more beautiful than that?
Amen.
God's existence is undeniable. And let me just share one other thing. His revelation of himself is understandable. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the exact representation, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the exact replica of the Father in heaven. You want to have an understanding of God? You go to this word and you start to learn about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see the mannerisms of Jesus. You see the mannerisms of Father God in heaven.
Yes.
You look into the eyes of Jesus. You're looking into the eyes of Father God in heaven. You hear Jesus speak. You are hearing the words of God the Father in heaven. You see Jesus act. You are seeing God the Father act on this earth. Jesus is the exact representation of God on earth. He is God come in human form.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Pentecostal.
God.
God in human form. Philip came and said, Lord Jesus, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus looked at him and said, Philip, have I been with you so long that you don't recognize me?
Mm-hmm.
The person that has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
Has seen the Father. Oh, John, Pastor John, I want to know God. Know Jesus. Know Jesus, and you will know the Father. Know Jesus, and you will hear the Father. Know Jesus, and you will see the Father, and know everything about the Father. Jesus is the exact representation, the Xerox, there's one for an X, the Xerox of God on earth.
Amen.
And he became man, why? So that he could suffer in our place, yes. That he could understand what we go through, yes. But he wanted people to know and understand him as well. It's so unfortunate that the scripture says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. They rejected and despised him, like I said before. But he comes here because he wants to be understood. He's a high priest who sympathizes with all your pain and all your agony, all your sorrow. You cry, guess what? Jesus wept. John chapter 11, verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible. He weeps with you. He cries with you. He mourns with you. He sorrows with you. He's understandable. And I love this passage of scripture. It said that the common people heard him gladly. Can I say that again? The common folk. Are you a common person?
Yes.
Common people. He didn't come just for the intellectuals. He could have come and he could have spewed out these words that nobody understood. But no, he comes. And he displays God and he reveals God in an understandable way so that a little child and an older man, anyone from, you know, from 5 to 50 to 8 to 80 to whatever, 10 to 100, could understand who he is. You say, Pastor John, I don't know God. Maybe you just need to get in here a little bit more.
Yes.
Because this is the way he's going to reveal himself to you. Yes, he reveals himself in creation, but he reveals himself understandably to you and I through the word. And that brings us to another point. God's word to you is unalterable. It just cannot change. Psalm 89, verse 34, God speaking, and he says, my covenant will I not profane, nor alter the thing which has gone out of my lips. Another version says, I do not change that which is going forth out of my lips.
Right.
God will not change. He's not going to break his oath with you. He's not going to break his promise with you. So many years ago, I was battling with the devil because I was feeling that, oh, God's just playing the trick on me. He's saying something because he wants me to go and believe this, but yet he's going to turn his back and say, no, that's not for you. You're not good enough. No, no, no. God doesn't change what he says. The Lord said, I am watching over my word to perform it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Ezekiel 12, 25. God says this, for I, the Lord, will speak, and whatever word I speak will be accomplished. God will do what he said he will do. God is not a man, the Bible says, that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good or fulfill it? When God says something, he means what he says.
Amen.
And this is the beautiful thing that we learn from scriptures as well. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable, unalterable, because it is impossible for God to lie.
Amen.
God is the truth, and it is impossible. God cannot lie. It's not in his nature to lie. It's not part of his being to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And it's impossible for God to lie to you. Every word that he speaks is flawless. Every word that he speaks is true. Every single word of scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And every promise that God gives is a yes. In Christ. That's the key. In Christ. Some people are trying to latch on to the promises of God and they're not in Christ. When you get in Christ, suddenly all the promises are a big old yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there are thousands of promises. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's one of the promises. Amen. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. That's another promise of God.
Amen.
I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave himself. There's another promise. I'm latching on to all the promises. I am a child of God. I'm latching on to that promise. Amen.
Amen.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm latching on to that promise. I'm latching on to every single promise. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard. The Spirit of the sword of the Spirit is going to come out. And you just begin to speak the Word of God and what God says about you and your character and who you are now in Christ Jesus. Things have changed. And you latch on to the promises of God. You know, there was an elderly couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1. I encourage you, go there and read it. Elderly couple, Luke chapter 1, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And the Bible says that they were barren. What does that mean? They were childless. But up in their elderly years. And then it says, yet they were blameless in all the law, in all the word of God. What does that mean? It means that just because they didn't see the manifestation of what God promised them, even at an elderly age, they remained faithful to the word of God. They remained faithful to God. Just because they didn't see it happen right then and there, Luke chapter 1, read it for yourself. They remained faithful to God. And how did God honor that? They gave birth to John the Baptist.
Hallelujah.
Even in their elderly age.
Hallelujah.
You say, God has forgotten me. No, 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 no. God hasn't forgotten you. God is with you. God is going to help you. Just hold on to this word. There has not failed one word of all that he has promised. You need to hold on to this word. The devil is going to come at you. The devil is going to put thoughts in your head. And what does the Bible say? Casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the word of God. There's a battle that you and I have to go through. Amen?
Amen.
God's word is not going to change for you. He hasn't forgotten you. God's existence undeniable. His revelation of himself understandable. God's word to you unalterable. and God's love for you unmistakable and unshakable.
Amen.
God is eternal. The Bible says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There's no end to God. There's no end to what he can do. There's no end to his revelation. When we get to heaven, it's going to be a constant understanding of who God is. Some people think, and we're doing the study on heaven next Wednesday as well. Can't wait for that too. But some people think when you get to heaven, you're just going to be up there with harps and, oh, hallelujah, on a cloud somewhere. No. When we get to heaven, it's going to be an ongoing revelation of the eternal El Olam. He's spoken of in Hebrew, El Olam, the eternal God. He just keeps going and going and going. You know, in the book of Revelation, it has these elders that fall before the Lord, and they say, holy, 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 he who was and who is to come. And that's all they say. Holy, 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 he who was and is to come. You think, well, that's boring. No. Because if you look at the language that's used there, what's happening is every time they say holy, 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 it's a new revelation of God's holiness. He who was and is to come. A new revelation of what he did in the past, what he's doing now, what he's going to do in the future. Holy, holy, holy. Brand new revelation every time they say it. That's what it's going to be like. You saw Don Piper here, right?
Yes.
Died, went to heaven. You read his book, it's an amazing story of what he experiences when he goes into heaven and he sees all these wonderful things. But God is everlasting. The Bible also says, among other things, that God is love, right? God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. God is love, not a kind of love. He's not a filet of love or this kind of love and this kind of. No, God is love. He is the epitome of love. When you look and want to understand love, you go to God because God is love. Jesus was love walking around on the earth for 3.5 years. If you want to understand more about love, you can see the love of God on this earth. But now the love of God is inside of you. Amen? And this love is eternal and it's unmistakable. How is it unmistakable? Pastor John, I don't know if Jesus loves me. Pastor John, prove to me that God loves me. And what I say to you is, look at the cross. You want a representation, if you want proof of God's love for you, all you have to do is look at the cross and look at the way Jesus allowed himself to be beaten and tortured. Why? For you.
Amen.
And for me. He went to that cross for you, and he went to that cross for me.
Thank you, Lord.
I come from a different world, and the only way I could compute it or understand it was that if somebody had a gun pointed to me, and somebody stood in the way and took the bullets, and I was standing behind that person, and this person took all the bullets that should have been mine, and holding that person, I'm holding them and the blood is gushing out, and that should have been my blood. I should have been the one to suffer, and I should have been the one to die. You and I should have been the one who suffered the consequences of our sin and our. We should have been the one on the cross. We should have been the ones that were beaten. We should have been the ones. But Jesus stepped up to the plate and he said, no, I'm going to go to the cross for you. You want to see a display of love? Look to me, look at my cross and see what I've done. The Apostle Paul put it this way. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God clearly shows. Can somebody say clearly shows?
Clearly shows.
God clearly shows and proves his own love for us. God, I want to repeat that again, just in case you didn't hear it the first time. God clearly shows and proves his love for you and for me. God clearly shows and proves his love for you and me. And that while we were still sinners, Christ still went to that cross to take our place and die in our stead.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let me tell you something. He did this while we were enemies.
Wow. God, thank you, Jesus.
Jesus died for his enemies. He displayed his love for his enemies, and he says, listen, I love you. You might hate me right now, but I'm going to the cross, and I want to show you how much I love you. How? This much.
Thank you, Lord.
As far as the east is from the west, so far will I remove your sins from you if you come to me and if you believe in me. God clearly shows and proves his own love for you and for me by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
And when you receive Christ, this love becomes inseparable. You are not able and unshakable. What do I mean by that? The Apostle Paul, listen, the Apostle Paul was one of the most wicked people, and he thought he was doing God a favor by killing, you know, Christians, by persecuting them. He thought he was a religious fanatic. He would be a lot of fanatics that we see in the religious world today, but just out there. And he thought he was doing God a favor by killing Christians, by getting these folks and bringing them in prison. And finally, he had this revelation as he's walking to Damascus, this road to Damascus, a light shone round about him. And the Lord spoke to him out of that light and say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus feels your pain. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus' children were being persecuted by the Apostle Paul. Yet Jesus speaks to Paul and says, why are you persecuting me? Because we are part of his body. Let me tell you something. When there's a little scratch on you, Jesus feels the pain. When you're going through suffering, Jesus feels the pain. Something happens. We have an earthquake. It's unshakable, this love that we have with him. I don't know if you can fix that. Whatever else you appreciate.
It's not happening.
Yeah. The Bible says this, Paul says this, if God is for us, who can ever be against us?
Nobody.
Wow. Amen?
Amen.
Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? If Jesus, if God gave us the best, won't he give us the rest?
Amen.
Listen to that verse again. Since he did not spare, God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up freely for us all, won't he also give us everything else that we need?
Amen.
Child of God, stop worrying about today and tomorrow. Well, God, don't worry about it. If God gave us Jesus Christ freely, he's going to give us everything else that we need. Can somebody give me an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Listen to what Paul says. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love?
Nothing.
I didn't know this was in the Bible. It is. There's so many good things in the Bible.
Yes.
Somebody say, read it.
Read it.
One more time.
Read it.
Read it.
One more time.
Read it.
One more time.
Read it.
Read it.
One more time.
Read it.
A little louder.
Read it.
Live it. That's good. Only by the Spirit. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake we're killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No! Despite all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us.
Amen.
Listen, to be a conqueror alone is great. But God is saying, when you come to Christ, when you accept Jesus, when this love comes inside of you, you are more than a conqueror.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. Yes. God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always causes us.
Amen.
All things work together for
good.
Good.
For those that love him, for those that are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
God's about all doing good stuff for us. Amen?
Yes.
I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. Amen?
Amen.
David said, how precious are your thoughts toward me? If I try to count them, they're more in number than the grains of sand. And every one of those little grains of sand is good thoughts toward you, loving thoughts toward you, purposeful thoughts toward you, thoughts of destiny and what you have in your life. And I am convinced that somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
A little louder.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons. You get in trouble by demons, you're saying Paul was persecuted, you felt beat up, no, that can't separate you from the love of Christ. Neither our fears for today. You have fears today, you're thinking, Lord, oh, there's no more love there. No. Your fears will not allow you to be separated from Christ. Neither fears of today nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever, ever, ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is able to separate you from God's love in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because when love comes in, he's coming in to stay permanently and not just move out.
Hallelujah.
He comes in and says, this is my home now. You've asked me to come in, and I'm coming there to make my presence known to you. God's existence is undeniable. God's revelation of himself, understandable. God's word to you, unalterable. God's love for you, unmistakable and unshakable. Can you stand for a moment, please? Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the way you express yourself in so many different ways. Lord, thank you for visiting us today. Thank you for coming down and letting us hear about you and your character and who you're all about. Jesus, thank you that you are the Word. Thank you that you are the express image of the Father. That to look on you is to see God the Father. You are God in human form, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And Father, we thank you for that revelation. And God, I'm asking you to, Lord, you've already done it. I trust and believe you're already moved upon hearts. And you're moving even now to continue a work that you began. Because your word says that you began a good work. You will be faithful to complete it in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, I ask you to help individuals right now to cry out if they do not know you as Lord and Savior, that you would do for them what you did for me so many years ago, Lord God, when I called out and said, Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, take control of my life. Lord Jesus, I give it all over to you. I'm going to stop being the boss of my own life, and I'm asking you to be the boss of all bosses. I'm asking you to govern me, to take control. And Lord, I thank you that you share yourself. You come inside of us, and your word says that you bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Thank you for the fruit of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. God, let there be hearts and let there be people that are born again, born anew, born from above today, yes. Father. In Jesus' name, we're trusting you to do it, Lord God. And we give you the praise. Lord, touch hearts today who felt like you didn't exist, that today they would leave with a nugget of truth, realizing, yep, it's undeniable. Lord, I pray that you would help individuals to say, I don't know God, that you would, I pray today, help them understand you are understandable, Lord. I pray that you would help individuals today to understand and get into your word to see that your promises are yes and amen, that your word is unalterable, Lord God, that your love for us is unmistakable and unshakable and unending. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And to you we give all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you. And the Lord grant you shalom and peace in Yeshua HaMashiach, in Jesus the Messiah's name. And what he says.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.